Okay, everything looks good.
Is that all right down there?
Yep, that's about the same distance away from both of us. Okay, if we get this right, I'm sitting here with Roy Fleming, and in front of his house on the porch, and the day is August the 9th, 2007.
Good.
Roy, before we get into the lacrosse questions, I'd appreciate your perspective on the main changes you've seen around Durham region in your 91 years, society in general, or anything you'd like to mention.
Well, I find out now, well, you don't know everybody. One time you knew everybody. Guys you went to school with, they were here. So now, 50% of the people you don't know.
Out of towners.
Well, and they move. Everybody moves. Christ, one time, the house you were born in is the one you died in.
Yeah. How many years you lived here? You lived here?
Since 1938.
Well, that's a while. Okay, I'm going to get into lacrosse now. Roy, how old were you? Now, we've been through this before, but we're asking the same questions. Roy, how old were you when you saw your first lacrosse game? Where was it played? And do you remember the teams or any of the players?
No, I was so damn young. It'd be down in the old, they didn't call it the Kinsman Stadium. That's where it was, out in the field. You know.
And that's where the field lacrosse was played?
No, yeah, they were playing both. They were trying to get the box lacrosse going.
When Oshawa won the Man Cup in 1929, did they play down there?
Field.
That? Yeah, but was it down in that?
No, Alexander Park.
Oh, that would have been nice, growing up there. How old were you when you played your first game, and where was it played?
I was 15, and I forget where it was now. It was in Oshawa somewhere, probably down at the stadium.
Were there bowls around the town, or just the fields mostly, I guess?
Well, there wasn't any other extra places.
As a kid growing up, did you have any particular player that you idolized or wanted to emulate?
Not really, because I didn't really know them, Of course, Big Stevens, that played senior, he's a big defenseman. He was well worth watching.
There were some guys like Toots White.
Yeah.
He played as far up as 41, I know, when they did it. Did you go as a fan up in 1940, 41? Would you have been following it still in those days?
Well, you see, when the war broke out, that just interrupted everything. And I was working steady nights on shift, 7 days a week. I didn't know where I was.
Where were you working during the war?
Truck line. I went over there April the 1st to try and get started. And we're building them, you'd say, by hand. And then in September, they started production, 1940.
I guess you made, would you make an armored vehicle?
Just
that?
Armored truck. That's all we made.
Ooh. Almost okay.
But there were others. Yeah, watch, we didn't shut down.
No, it's still going. Okay.
Yeah, we made armored trucks, but there was other divisions,
Okay, I read in the book, Oshawa, Canada's Motor City, by McIntyre Hood, where the revival of lacrosse started about the turn of the century, when a four-team league composed of Williams Piano, Ontario Malleable Iron, McLaughlin Carriage Company, and a town team was organized.
Yeah.
The games in these days were played at Ellie Edmondson's Prospect Park.
That's where RS is. That's RS's home.
RS is where it is
that.
Now.
Yeah, he bought that.
In 1907, a famous team, the Oshawa Shamrocks, you ever heard of them?
Oh, well, I might have heard of them.
Which had in its lineup the legendary News of the Lawn, brought its first lacrosse fame to Oshawa. I know this was a little before your time, but do you remember hearing any stories about the lacrosse played around that time?
Not really. See, we lived in Harmony, and in those days, every place was a different, you know, you didn't have the transportation. So you had Harmony, Westmont, Cedardale, and North Osh, and they're like, you know,
their own communities.
Yeah.
I'm just going to read this piece that I read before.
All right.
Okay, it's out of that book. Lacrosse is a sport with the longest history of all the Oshawa sporting activities. It provided the first Oshawa team to take part in an outdoor sports competition. That was in 1872, when lacrosse enthusiasm was at its height. This team played against teams from Port Hope, Bowmanville, Millbrook, and other central Ontario towns, which were then just as large as Oshawa.
Yeah, they were.
The enthusiasm lasted from 1870 to 1875, but thereafter, interest waned and the game died out for a period of 25 years. The revival of lacrosse started about the turn of the century when the four-team league, composed of Williams Piano, Ontario Malibu Iron, McLaughlin Carriage Company, and a town team, was organized. The games in those days were played at L.A. Edmondson's Prospect Park. In 1907, a famous team, the Oshawa Shamrocks, which had in its lineup the legendary New Salon, brought its first lacrosse fan to Oshawa. Thereafter, lacrosse continued, but not as at a championship level, until 1921 when the Oshawa team lost in the Ontario Intermediate Finals to St. Mary's. Lacrosse was given its greatest boost in 1928 when General Motors of Canada sponsored a senior team. Yeah. A great collection of lacrosse stars were assembled, including players of the stature of Chuck Barron.
That's right.
You played with him, didn't
yeah.
you? On the Oshawa team.
Yeah.
Chuck Davidson.
Yeah.
He went on to Brampton.
Yeah.
Tilly Stokes, I hadn't heard of him.
No, I didn't.
Buster Whitten.
Yeah, Buster Whitney.
Ernie Shepley. Smokey Fox, Bob Stevenson, that's the big defenseman.
Yeah.
Tooch White.
Yeah.
He played for a long time. Mel White.
Yeah.
He also played for
Mel White, different name.
Is he?
He ended up as superintendent of the electric department.
Oh, yeah, I heard that his name
yeah.
from GM. Mac McGrath, Ted Reeves, now that's a famous name.
Yeah. Max McGrath, see, they were great athletes.
Kelly DeGray.
Yeah, up the street.
Red Spencer, Smitty Smithson, Jack and Pete Walsh, and the goalie, Patty Shannon.
Yeah, Patty Shannon.
Shannon went on and played, he played in the first game, played at Maple Leaf Gardens, 1931, for Toronto.
Oh, yeah.
George Monroe, coach and senior.
That's right, George Monroe.
And Harry Lott, the juniors.
Yeah,
in that year, Oshawa's intermediate team won the Ontario Championship. In 1929, the club had some added strength. Charles McTavish became its president.
Yeah,
and this
McTavish.
Was its greatest year. It won the Ontario Senior Championship and then went on to win the Dominion Championship and the Man Cup, beating on its way Ottawa, Winnipeg, Edmonton, and the famous Salmon Bellies of New Westminster. In June 1930, as Canadian champions, the Oshawa team took part in a World Championship tournament with a United States team and won the world title by a margin of 11-10 in a two-game series. In the 1930 season, Brampton Excelsiors eliminated Oshawa from the Ontario Championship Series. In 1931, when the Depression was at its worst, General Motors withdrew its support and the team was broken up.
That's right.
In 1932, box lacrosse was born and was played in the Oshawa Arena in 1932 and 1933, but only with local teams. There was no further action on the lacrosse front until 1963, when there was a great lacrosse revival. Oshawa Green Grails were organized as a junior team under the capable leadership and coaching of James Bishop. He gathered together a collection of talented lacrosse players, and the team in its first season won the Canadian Junior Championship and Minnow Cup. The Green Grails have repeated this championship winning performance every year since, and the 1967 team again won the Minnow Cup. the Green Gales have brought to Oshawa its greatest era of success in Canada's national game. So they won right up until 69.
No one happened to poor Bishop, did you?
Yeah, killed in a car accident. That was around 1990. I see.
What happened, you see? And he finally married this woman. And he was built and making those. Don't ever pray, don't go listen.
But it's the, oh, let's carry on and.
Yeah.
Okay. I want to just finish this.
Yeah.
In 1929, Oshawa won the Man Cup for field lacrosse supremacy in Canada. You would have been 14 at the time of this Man Cup victory. What can you remember about it?
Well, I remember them coming home on a truck, and they had a monstrous rope. People were pulling the truck through the city.
Box lacrosse was started in 1931 at the professional level and lasted for only 2 years. The OALA started it up the next year, and a league was also formed called the Southern Ontario Box Lacrosse League, which had six teams in Bowmanville, Brooklyn, Harmony, Port Perry, Stonehaven, and Whitby. You played on the winning Harmony team with two of your brothers. Can you tell me a bit about your siblings?
Well, my brothers are both older, and my one brother was, you know, a big man.
What was his name?
Fred.
Fred?
He was my other brother's name was Alec. He wasn't as big.
What was that, Alec?
Alec.
Alec?
And he could run the hell, but my older brother, Fred, he just had any trouble, he went. One of those guys.
How much older was Fred then?
About 10, 11 years.
Yeah, so he's around. You were how old when you played for in 32? In that league?
I'd be 17.
17, so he'd be about 27, 28?
Yeah, he'd go out.
And did either of the brothers play anywhere else after
no,
that?
They helped the teams.
Yeah. Some of the other members of your team were Bob Normoyle,
yeah.
Jack Gay,
yeah.
Pete Sanders,
Sanford,
Ray Leroy,
yeah.
Don Hearn, Stan
yeah.
Cook, Mel Moffat, Cy Campbell, brother of the famous Oshawa Times sports writer, George Soup Campbell, Glenn Salter, Waddy Oak,
yeah.
Ab Barnes.
Yeah.
What strange or comical anecdotes can you recall about any of these players?
Well, like Ab Barnes went on to play semi-pro hockey, and Glenn Salter went on to play goal for the, well, that Oshawa team wasn't called the Generals then in those days, you know. The rest of them just, you know, played here and there.
The guy, Cy Campbell,
yeah.
Would he have played as late as 41, 1941, in the Oshawa team?
Cy, yeah.
Because there was a Campbell, and I didn't know his first name.
Yeah, that'd be him.
Good, there's one filled in. Describe what the arena was like and where it was at the Harmony back some 74 years ago.
Well, it was an outdoor box on grass that was kept up A1.
What the hell is this? Who's this?
Well, better shut it off. Who the hell is
this? Okay, Roy, I'm going to ask you about that again. Describe what the arena was like and where it was at, in Harmony way back 74 years ago.
Well, it wasn't an arena. It was an outdoor field. Grass was kept good and short, and it was a beautiful place because the old railway was on the south side, and people could stand on the bank and look into the bar. The rest was along by the creek.
So that would be right along Harmony Creek there.
Yes, sir. When, if you were up, you could look over and see, now it's a highway, yeah.
Now it's Bond Street comes by there.
Yeah, yeah. But it's down there.
And there used to be a train that,
what,
you'll tell me a passenger train went from Bowmanville to Toronto?
Never made it. I made the one trip, one back there.
What would that be, the Grand Trunk?
No, it was a guy named R.H. Butler. He was the mayor of Toronto, and they were the the or one of the richest families in Toronto. He was mayor of Toronto. He owned the Toronto Street Railway and sold it, and he put the money in there. Went bankrupt.
Jeez, that's too bad. That would have been nice having back then.
Yeah, that was the life.
Okay, one of the other teams in the league was Brooklyn.
Yeah.
Tell me about where they played their games and a bit about a few of their more well-known players, the Twins, Lewis and Luther Vipon, Jack McDuff, and Sailor Luke, Jack and Jim Patterson. What do you remember about those guys?
Well, of course, I knew them all. I knew them personally well. And where we played, the new arena, where it sits, the field was between there and the road. Outdoor grass, yeah.
What were the Vipons like?
The Vipons were great guys. Yeah, they'd help you 1 minute. They would. And then the fight started, they'd trim you.
They liked to scrap, didn't they?
Oh, they were great guys, though.
Yeah, I done an interview with Lewis a while back.
Yeah.
He's taught me Luther was pretty tough.
Oh, God, they were tough. They were strong.
Yeah. Well, they worked the farm, eh?
That's right. They were strong. Yeah.
Yeah, you were also telling me around that time, like that would be just after the Great Depression.
Yeah.
I guess a lot of guys, not too many jobs around.
Oh, jobs, sure. Well, Sailor Luke was from Oshawa. And because he could play lacrosse, a farmer gave him a job out there. He worked the farm and played for Brooklyn. Then when things got going, I remember he came back to work in General Motors.
So Sailor Luke was an excellent sailor?
No, I never seen him. He was there was at least four boys, and most of them, like, I remember the one was a great football player. Yeah, they were big men, real good, strong men. They lived on Agnes Street.
Oh, I know where that is. One of the other teams in the league was the Stonehaven Red Wings.
Yeah.
Where did they play their home games, and how were they connected to the famous McLaughlin family?
Well, Stonehaven was named after George McLaughlin's grandson, who was R.S.'s brother. And they played where that big Apple storage building is. They just played right along the front of that. In the field, right in the, you know, the good grass.
Right.
So.
So, like, Sam's dad, what was his name? Was he George? Or George was his brother?
No. Well, then most people don't know it. J.J. developed and came out with Canada Dry.
J.J. who?
McLaughlin.
And who was J.J. McLaughlin? Right?
He was one of the three brothers.
Oh, I didn't even know there was a third brother.
Yeah, but they kept this quiet.
Oh, so J.J. started Canada Dry.
Yes, sir.
Wow, I didn't know
and
that.
He made a lot of people in Oshawa wealthy.
Huh.
Yeah. That was where you put your money. You know, if you're
yeah.
J.J., but nobody knew him or anything else.
I had never heard of him.
Yeah,
I knew
Jake.
About the other two.
Yeah.
After winning the league championship, you went on to play other teams from Oshawa, Colberg, and Millbrook.
Yeah.
Tell me a bit about those teams from back then. Did the Harmony team lose any games all that season?
No. We had a lot of fast runners, and we played practically all year round, you know. Indoors, and so we could handle the ball. But of course, Millbrook at one time, I told you, was a very wealthy place, and it was mostly then guys came in from Peterborough. But we all thought Colberg was going to go, and it started going, and it just went, bloop. Yeah.
Millbrook, did they play in a league in Peterborough, or?
No, I not that I remember. I forget. Because they were over there. We only went out there to play them.
I have a few clippings from the paper, and I'd just like to get your comments. The Harmony Box Across Club played for the first time at Brooklyn Fair on the holiday, gaining a tie with the Fast Brooklyn team in a game which went 10 minutes overtime to a 2-2 draw. Roy Fleming and Pete Sanford on defense for the Harmony team played well throughout, handing out checks with rare abandon and giving Moffitt good protection and goal. So you were a defenseman, were you?
No, I was actually a rover. I was seven men.
Oh, rover, yeah. Same as hockey used to have that.
Yeah, that's where I played.
So the rover was the guy that covered the whole field, wasn't
he? Well, he stayed in behind the center man, anywhere from the back of the center man to the back of the defense.
So were you pretty fast?
I was the fastest guy there was. I'm not trying to brag.
No.
Running.
But that's why you played rover.
Yeah.
I played rover at Waterloo University when I first started. There was a field lacrosse. And that's
good.
He was the guy that could cover the whole field.
Yeah.
Where in field lacrosse, you had to stay in different areas. Man, that was great because you had a great big net to shoot.
Oh, yeah, I know that.
Box. And only a few guys never played box across then.
Yeah.
Okay, defeating Bowenville lacrosse teams by a 4-3 score, Harmony took the lead of the lacrosse league in an exciting game Wednesday of last week. From reports received from those who attended the game, it proved to be a regular Donnybrook. Sticks flew right and left, and the only ones who apparently benefited by the rough play were the Dennis, who later had to do some fixing up for a few of the fellows who lost teeth. Harmony were four regular men short, but they put up a fight that soon gave plenty of excitement to the large crowd of lacrosse fans. According to one report, Bowmanville started getting rough, and Leroy got two teeth knocked out, while Roy Fleming and Hearn both got knocked out. Do you remember that?
What they do? They used to come up behind you. That's right, and go right across your neck. Yeah, they wouldn't dare allow it now.
So when you're knocked out cold, what do you do? Just throw a bucket of water on you?
That's all. Stagger around. And
get up and play again.
Get up and play again. That's right. That's exactly what you do.
An interesting feature of the game took place at halftime when the Harmony team presented Colonel R.S. McLaughlin with a race program recorder in appreciation of his assistance. Speaking after the game, Colonel McLaughlin said it was a very credible exhibition of box across, featuring some smart plays and fast running. I guess Sam was involved in sports quite a bit around the area, was he?
Big, but behind the pitcher. He'd get behind it and chase these guys, you know. And once he was in it, the others would jump in.
Was he really a colonel in the war or just honorary?
Honorary.
Guess you have that kind of money, you can do whatever you want.
Well, they claim that he put thousands, maybe millions into the regiment down here.
Roy, do you have any further anecdotes, memories, or comments about that first box across league, the teams, executives, or players you'd like to add?
Yes. Years later went on, and most of those fellows became great personal friends of mine. I knew them all.
Yeah, that's one thing. You meet a lot of friends from lacrosse.
Yeah.
I think about almost everybody I know is from lacrosse.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what Mike was telling me. That's how he felt, too.
Do you want to know something? A fella told me, I forget who it was, and he come into Oshawa, and he said, I couldn't find a person I knew. Well, somebody said, why don't you go to the lacrosse game? He said, I know went to Brooklyn. He said, I know them all. Yeah.
Yeah, I like
them. Recognize them.
I'll go to different arenas, you know. Fergus or Peterborough or any of those arenas, and you run into people you know. And, you know.
Oh, the guy that was sitting next to me, he was from Fergus, you know. And he said, you know, they went up and down and said, she's on her way up again.
Oh, good. I'd like to see him get Senior A out there again.
Yeah.
In 1933, you played junior with many of the players who were on your Harmony team. The only piece I could find in the paper was a game against an Oakville team. What experiences can you remember from that year and team?
Well, to start off, we didn't have a face mask. So you had to keep your stick down or it'd be a penalty. You were supposed to never raise it above your waist.
Yeah.
Supposed to. You didn't, you know, you're hitting guys in the face all the time.
Roy, this year is particularly interesting to me because in 1936, Oshawa had its only Senior A lacrosse team, which had a record of 0 wins and 28 losses. They withdrew from the league on July 22nd, defaulting the last 12 games. What can you remember about some of the members of that team? Charlie Barron,
yeah.
Kelly DeGray, Ray Leroy, Eugene Shine Bovan,
yeah.
who is my brother-in-law's great-uncle,
yeah.
who he was named after and died in the
War.
Second World War in 1944. Toots White, what can you remember about that year?
Well, to start off with, we didn't have the finish of the players. It was just above us. And no money. That was the biggest problem.
So it probably would have been better to play Senior B or intermediate.
Oh, yeah, well, I don't think there was any. But I think that was the reason. That we were too good for intermediate and not big enough for that.
That Chuck Barron had a good year. I was looking, he was third in the scoring race that year.
Oh, Chuck Barron. We had quite a play. I told you I was so fast. And I stayed behind him. And he'd just break away. And I could pass the ball up like that. And cause it to start. And then he'd run into it. Like run, catch up to it. And just let her go.
Roy, one player, Max Corky McGregor, who played for Fergus. I have a 1912 lacrosse card of 24 years before that 1936 season. Corky McGregor played right up to 1939 for Fergus. And yet I had a card of him of 1912, so it was 27 years later. He was still playing lacrosse.
Oh, Lord.
There was a goalie, too, MacArthur. He played for Aurelia.
Yeah.
Bill MacArthur.
Yeah.
And that guy, he was supposedly 56 or 57 when he played in his last Man Cup.
That's right.
And that's the record for...
You know how big he was?
No.
That wide.
He must play long years, too.
I told you he was so thin, and they didn't have the goaltenders, didn't have any more pads than anybody else. An old belly pad that hung loose. And he got permission to use, like, hockey defensemen's shin guards. Yeah.
They didn't wear face masks either.
No.
Roy, you've seen it all in your day, but does one team, one game, one memory stand out to you above any else as a player or as a fan in your memory?
Well, when the Green Gales were at their best, I remember being at the Children's Arena, and they didn't think they'd win. I forget who they were playing. And it just got so close, and then they had a couple of good scorers, you know.
Johnny Davis?
Yeah. And do you know what he did? I don't know if I told you that. He never ran down the floor and ran back. He stood in one place. But he could put it through a hole like that.
Yeah. He was my hero when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Roy, thanks for sharing this time with me and filling us in on a history of lacrosse that would never have been recorded, and it would have been lost forever if you hadn't given me this information. We have a little bit of the tape left. Do you have any questions or anything you'd like to ask me?
I personally think that the city should build a few more boxes. Because that's where everybody starts.
Yeah.
You take that little old box that they built on Rawson Road west of Girard. That's where all the Whippy guys got started.
Yeah. That's still there.
Is it? I haven't known it.
Yeah. There's two boxes in Whippy.
What's it?
Two outdoor boxes. Peel Park and the Girard Road box. And I know the Girard Road is still there.
Yeah.
Remember in Osha, we had Farewell Bowl, we had Lake Vista.
Yeah.
We had one down by Children's Arena.
Yeah, that's right.
There was... You used to walk around, you see kids with sticks all
day
long.
That's right. That's right.
You know, I'd love to see that return again.
But, now with, you know, these new lacrosse sticks and new everything, you know, it's so much faster. They can whip that ball faster. See, when you had the old gut depending on the weather, that you'd be like this, dry shoes like this.
Well, I might as well ask these questions. I'm working on 1941 Oshawa. It's the senior B team. And I had some names, but I don't know. The Campbell, that was Cy, would that have been? And Cy Campbell in 41?
Yeah, and yeah.
Had you ever heard of a Bernier? I'm thinking back 41 now.
Bernard.
It was Bernard, was it?
Yeah.